I used to believe that phone calls don't change your life until one day I got a phone call that did. "Your father is trying to kill himself," my mother said. My father, always uncommonly friendly and never depressed a minute in his life, had developed Parkinson's disease. Like his father before him, he attempted suicide multiple times. This crisis pushed me to explore how we navigate life's disruptions, a question that would transform not just my father's life, but my own understanding of human resilience. This exploration culminated in Life is in the Transitions, which Brené Brown called a masterpiece, and Adam Grant praised as the perfect guide through life's biggest changes. The book has resonated deeply with readers navigating our increasingly unpredictable world, offering a roadmap through personal upheaval that feels especially relevant in our post-pandemic reality. The linear life is dead. Our lives no longer follow predictable paths. Instead, we experience chaos, complexity, and non-linearity. When I asked people, "What shape is your life?" they described circles, hearts, butterflies, spirals, reflecting their complex personal narratives. The idea that life follows carefully calibrated progression seems outdated now. Consider Christy Moore, who always hated school and became pregnant in high school. She married Roy and had three children while struggling financially. Despite owning a small Japanese restaurant, medical debt from Roy's ulcerative colitis kept them one paycheck from homeless. During library visits with her daughter, Christy discovered classics like Wuthering Heights that transformed her. She enrolled at Armstrong Atlantic State University, terrified but determined. Despite feeling inadequate as a high school dropout, she persevered through tears and self-doubt. With a meticulous, color-coded calendar and flashcards, she studied everywhere, even at red lights and Disney World. In 16 years, she went from GED to PhD in adult education, calling her graduation the happiest day of her life. Every time humans advance, they revise their worldview. We're in such a transformation today with technological breakthroughs, weakening religious institutions, and realigning gender roles. Yet few acknowledge we're also experiencing a fundamental shift in our expectations of life's shape. Historically, there have been three major evolutions in understanding life's shape: from natural time, seasonal, cyclical, to mechanical time, regular, linear, to today's dynamic, unpredictable, non-linear time. The industrial age transformed humans into time-obsessed beings, with the proliferation of timepieces marking our days. Inevitably, we began tracking our lives by the clock as well. The dominant life shapes of the 20th century became mechanical and sequential. Arrows of progress, conveyor belts of life, bootstrap narratives. Psychology adopted this regimentation, introducing concepts like adolescence, midlife, and retirement. Erik Erikson's influential 8-stage model explicitly acknowledged industrial metaphors, viewing life as a one-way street to success with predetermined order. These staged constructs have since been criticized as too pat, narrow, and harmful, putting pressure on people to meet external expectations rather than acknowledging life's unpredictability. A hallmark of our time is that life doesn't unfold in predictable passages or cycles. It's non-linear and increasingly unpredictable. Yet this non-linearity makes life more manageable, more forgiving of missteps, and more open to personalization for those who understand how to navigate life's twists and turns. J.R. McLean's life exemplifies non-linearity. Born in Mississippi, he attended 9 schools in 12 years as his family moved frequently. His father's decision to become a Baptist minister drastically reduced their income and created conflict when J.R.'s father defended his son's black friends against a racist deacon. After struggling with ADHD and leaving high school without a diploma, J.R. joined the Navy, then became a truck driver, before finally finding his calling in nursing. He moved his family across the country, changed religious affiliations, political orientations, and parenting styles. When his 15-year-old daughter became pregnant, he responded with compassion rather than punishment. Through these cascading changes, J.R. came to embrace change itself. "I feel like the theme of my life has been change, and now I realize change is life. It's what keeps life interesting. If Galileo's 1583 observation of pendulum swings marked the origin of modern science and the linear life, Edward Lorenz's 1961 discovery of the butterfly effect, that tiny influences in one part of a system can transform outcomes elsewhere, marked the birth of postmodern science and the nonlinear life. This discovery sparked exploration of irregularities across science, from lightning paths to brain neurons. Nonlinear thinking envisions the world as a flux of patterns enlivened with sudden turns rather than through quantification and symmetry. A disruptor is an event that interrupts life's everyday flow, not necessarily negative, just a deviation from daily life. The range of interpersonal relationship disruptions is vast and increasingly fluid. The traditional family structure has dramatically shifted. Marriage rates have fallen by two-thirds since 1950, fewer than half of American households are headed by married couples, a quarter of children are raised by single parents, and half will experience parental divorce. Identity disruptions are equally diverse and multiplying. Today, most people change at least one aspect of their identity: community, sexuality, gender, or class. Many change multiple aspects. The average person moves nearly 12 times in their life. An expanding alphabet of sexual identities has emerged. Facebook offers 71 gender options, and socioeconomic mobility affects over three-quarters of Americans. The midlife crisis concept has been thoroughly debunked. Studies show no evidence for a universal crisis period. Only about a quarter of people report challenges during midlife, and these are attributed to specific events, not existential despair. The term midlife itself has become meaningless, stretching from 30 to 70 depending on who you ask. Most importantly, life events, once concentrated in specific age ranges, now occur across decades. The average person faces between 30 and 40 major life disruptors, approximately one every 12 to 18 months. This calculation comes from both public data, average of 13 jobs, 11.7 moves, 3 accidents, and patterns observed in the Life Story Project interviews. These disruptions create a constant rhythm of upheaval, often arriving before we've finished processing the previous one.
Lifequakes are massive, forceful bursts of change that lead to periods of upheaval, transition, and renewal, the wolves that upend our fairy tales. Unlike everyday disruptors, lifequakes fundamentally shift the meaning, purpose, or direction of our lives, creating BCE-CE moments that divide our stories into before and after. The average person experiences between 3 to 5 lifequakes in a lifetime, meaning roughly 1 in 10 disruptors becomes a lifequake. Lisa Ludovici's story exemplifies a profound lifequake. Born to alcoholic parents who divorced when she was 3, Lisa suffered from debilitating migraines since childhood. Despite this, she built a successful career as an internet ad executive in Manhattan, but was miserable, working 14-hour days, crying nightly at her desk. After overhearing colleagues discussing her sourness, she calculated her finances and quit the next day, explaining, "The fear of staying was greater than the fear of leaving." 2 weeks later, a chance encounter with a coach on public television led Lisa to hypnotherapy school. Remarkably, during her training, she was cured of the migraines that had plagued her for 41 years. A decade later, she became the leading certified medical hypnotist in New York City, working with the VA and showing unprecedented success rates treating chronic pain. These transformative moments have been called many names throughout history: metanoia, Weber; mental rearrangements, James; turning points, inflection points, pivots. But experiencing upheaval alone doesn't create a lifequake. You must assign it meaning and recognize it as a catalyst for transition. Some people experience what others might consider cataclysmic events without being thunderstruck, like my mother, who treated her breast cancer as a medical inconvenience rather than a life-defining moment. Personal, involuntary lifequakes represent the most common disruptions people face, accounting for nearly half of all cases. Health issues dominate this category, about a third, followed by death of loved ones, relationship endings, and financial setbacks. The prevalence of these involuntary disruptions underscores how tenuous our control over life truly is, despite our illusions of mastery. Personal voluntary life quakes represent nearly 40% of major life disruptions, showing how many people choose to upend their own lives. Most personal voluntary life quakes, 87%, involve leaving something stable, careers, marriages, religions, or homes, suggesting that today's non-linear culture gives people greater permission to abandon security in pursuit of fulfillment. Work changes represent the largest subcategory, 37%, followed by leaving marriages, 16%. What transforms ordinary disruptors into life-altering life quakes? Three key factors emerge from the research. First is timing. When disruption strikes during moments of vulnerability or frustration, it can ignite major change. Second, life quakes often represent the final straw in a sequence of disruptions. The third and most unexpected factor is that disruptors tend to cluster in pileups. Sometimes these convergences are coincidental, but often they're connected. One disruption weakens our resilience, making us vulnerable to others. While the linear life promises predictability, the nonlinear life delivers constant irregularity, a unique fingerprint of booms, busts, ampersands, exclamation points, monster curveballs, lucky breaks, and every other conceivable life detour. This volatility breeds existential anxiety, prompting fundamental questions. What kind of person do I want to be? What story do I want to tell? What gives me meaning? Christian Picciolini exemplifies someone with a non-traditional life shape. Born to struggling Italian immigrants, Christian spent his early years feeling isolated, watching other children play from his grandparents' closet. At 14, his loneliness made him vulnerable to recruitment by Clark Martel, founder of the Chicago area Skinheads, who offered him something he desperately craved, community and purpose. Christian became a zealot overnight, tattooing Nazi symbols across his body, participating in hate crimes, and forming a white supremacist band. When Martel went to prison, Christian, still a teenager, became America's neo-Nazi leader, expanding the movement nationally and gaining international notoriety. His transformation began through small moments of human connection. First, feeling empathy for a black teenager he'd beaten, then developing relationships with the diverse customers at his record store, and finally experiencing fatherhood. I was holding my son for the first time, and he was so innocent. I realized he could be manipulated, and maybe I had been too. After analyzing 75 years of research and the themes from hundreds of life stories, three essential ingredients of a meaningful life emerged, the ABCs of meaning. A is agency, autonomy, creativity, mastery, and the belief you can impact the world. B is belonging, relationships, community, and the people who nurture you. C is cause, a calling, mission, or transcendent commitment beyond yourself. These three elements correspond to our three narrative identities: our me story, where we're the hero exercising agency, our we story, where we belong to a community, and our thee story, where we serve something larger. While we all contain all three elements, we constantly rebalance them in response to life events, like Lady Justice with three scales instead of two. When these sources of meaning are in balance, our lives feel balanced. When they're out of balance, we struggle. Just as chaos scientists discovered that seemingly random phenomena reveal ordered patterns through shapes, fractals, strange attractors, spiral vortices, people's lives also conform to distinct shapes that reveal their core values. When asked what shape best captures their lives, people's answers fell into three categories that correspond perfectly with the ABCs of meaning. The first category, chosen by half of respondents, includes trajectory-based shapes like rivers, winding roads, and mountain ranges, lines that reflect movement through time and emphasize personal achievement. These agency-focused individuals prioritize their me story and tend to be work and achievement-oriented. The second category, selected by 2 and 5 people, features enclosed spatial shapes, like hearts, houses, and bowls, circles, that contain loved ones. These belonging-focused individuals prioritize their we story and are relationship-oriented. The final category, chosen by 3 and 10, includes symbolic objects like light bulbs, crosses, or butterflies, stars, that represent guiding principles. These cause-focused individuals prioritize their thee story and orient toward beliefs, saving the world, or serving others. This concept explores how we make meaning during times of personal change through the process of shape-shifting between different life priorities. During life transitions, we can alter these priorities as needed, a powerful way to make meaning during personal change. Jamie Levine's story exemplifies shape-shifting after a lifequake. Growing up with financial insecurity, he became obsessively focused on wealth and success, working at Goldman Sachs and living the go-glow 80s dream. His life was a pure line, defined by personal agency and achievement. Then his daughter Scarlett was born with a rare intestinal condition requiring lifelong IV nutrition. Despite making partner, Jamie's life imploded, his marriage strained, and his daughter nearly died. After being fired during a company downsizing, Jamie was forced to re-examine himself. He shifted from Wall Street to biotech, changed his leadership style, and prioritized family. His identity transformed from line-focused, personal achievement, to circle-focused, relationships. Summarizing his transformation simply, "Am I a jerk today? I don't think so." The first aftershock of a lifequake is that many people experience their upheaval as a metaphorical death. Nearly half of interviewees used expressions like, "A part of me died that day," or "I was reborn." While different from actual deaths, these disruptions are so life-altering that death becomes the closest analogy. Many people actually welcome these symbolic deaths, embracing the idea that their former self has died and a new self has been born. The breach in normalcy during a lifequake forces people to revisit their life story. Augustine's conversion led him to write Confessions, inventing modern autobiography. Sociologist Robert Zussman coined autobiographical occasion to describe moments when we must provide accounts of ourselves, not just stories about events, but about our lives. 3/4 of interviewees said their biggest lifequake caused them to rewrite their life story, though many didn't initially realize this would happen. The final and most powerful aftershock of a lifequake is shape-shifting. Like Walt Whitman's famous line, "I am large, I contain multitudes," we have the power to shift among different dimensions to recalibrate what gives us meaning. Lifequakes jolt people to reevaluate the weight they give to each element in the ABCs of meaning: agency, belonging, and cause. Just as nature self-organizes after chaos, humans adapt psychologically to restore balance. Rather than simply bouncing back to who we were before, we often move in entirely new directions. People pivoting from self-orientation to service or relationships were the most common shapeshifts. Anne Marie D'Angelo went from prima ballerina to life coach for injured dancers, agency to cause. Darryl Ross sold his insurance company after a friend's murder to start a nonprofit for affordable housing. Jan Egberts stepped down as pharmaceutical CEO to care for his sons after his estranged wife's suicide, agency to belonging. Many found limits in relationship-centered meaning. Ann Raymer transformed from mild-mannered mom to fierce pediatric cancer advocate after her dying son was denied clinical trials, belonging to cause. Lisa Heffernan and Mary Dell Harrington created a support group for empty nesters. Peggy Batten left her children with her husband to pursue her philosophy career in Utah, belonging to agency. Even those devoted to causes sometimes need to shift. John Austin left 25 years in federal law enforcement to start a risk management firm after a health scare. Anne Imig stepped down from her unpaid work leading a nationwide storytelling movement for mothers to focus on her own writing. Susan Pierce left her university presidency to care for her husband after his strokes, cause to belonging.
A life quake is a forceful burst of change leading to upheaval, transition, and renewal. While the initial disruption may be voluntary or involuntary, the transition itself must be voluntary. You must choose to convert upheaval into renewal by making your own meaning. Through hundreds of conversations, I discovered 7 tools for navigating transitions: identifying emotions, ritualizing change, giving up old mindsets, trying new things, seeking wisdom from others, unveiling your new self, and composing a fresh story. The first tool is acceptance. Charles Gossett grew up in a close-knit but troubled family filled with alcoholism and rage. Despite academic success, he felt disconnected from the world from age 5. As a teenager, he turned to alcohol at 15, thinking, "The clouds parted. Everything was possible." After a suicide attempt at 19, he eventually married and had 2 daughters, but continued drinking a pint of whiskey daily. When his wife finally left with their children, he entered treatment, where the word acceptance appeared on a screen during a session. "I had been tumbling down a cliff, and now, for the first time, I stopped," he said. This moment of clarity allowed him to accept his alcoholism and begin recovery. When asked about the greatest emotions they struggled with during transitions, 27% of interviewees cited fear as the most common, followed by sadness, 19%, and shame, 15%. People overcome fear in various ways: by creating mental equations where fear of the future is less than fear of the present, by writing down their fears alongside their hopes, by simply buckling down and working through fear, or by confronting fears head-on. The second tool is marking change through rituals. When life becomes overwhelmingly unpredictable during transitions, people instinctively create structure through rituals. In a non-linear world full of volatility and impermanence, rituals provide concrete markers and containers for our experiences. When facing life transitions, 78% of people mark these moments with rituals that help restore agency and meaning. These rituals fall into 4 categories: personal, tattoos, altars; collective, ceremonies, parties; name changes, and cleansing rituals. The third tool is shedding old mindsets. Just as animals molt their skin, feathers, or shells to accommodate growth, humans must shed old mindsets during transitions. Psychologists note that half our daily actions are habits rather than decisions, and these too must be relinquished. People primarily shed aspects of their personality, emotions, lifestyle elements, beliefs, and attitudes toward money. This shedding process is fundamentally narrative, closing certain chapters to open new ones. The fourth tool is creating something new. Life transitions often feel like a slog through acceptance, ritual, and shedding. But somewhere in this process, something unexpected emerges: creativity. People begin experimenting with new diversions, revisiting forgotten interests, and reimagining their stories. At the moment of greatest chaos, they respond with creation, turning to activities like dancing, cooking, singing, painting, writing, or playing instruments. Zachary Herrick's life transformed after being shot in the face during combat in Afghanistan. The bullet destroyed his oral cavity, lips, nostrils, and mandible, requiring 30 reconstructive surgeries. Confined to a wheelchair and unable to eat normally, Zach contemplated suicide. But unexpectedly, he found renewal through creativity, first cooking, then writing poetry and essays that helped him process trauma, and finally painting in the style of Jackson Pollock. "Instead of taking down the enemy with a gun, now I take down the enemy with a strong vocabulary or a strong voice," he explained. The fifth tool is sharing your journey with others. Sharing our transitions with others is a timeless tool that transcends the 3 stages of change. Unlike other transition tools that are time-bound, connecting with others floats throughout the process, sometimes happening once, sometimes repeatedly. We all have distinct preferences for the type of feedback we need, what Filer calls our phenotype of feedback. Whatever form it takes, the underlying message is the same: we need help.
The sixth tool is launching your new self. The moment finally arrives when normalcy returns, a glimmer of light, an easier breath, when the past no longer casts such a long shadow and the future comes into view. Even if this happens early in a transition, its symbolic importance remains the same. It's time to launch fresh projects, share your work, and unveil your new self. In transitions, people often find profound meaning in what Filer calls the first normal moment, small everyday actions that become powerful symbols of recovery. Seth Mundkin found joy in paying bills after overcoming heroin addiction. Michelangelo, adrift after divorce, felt empowered when his accountant took over bills his husband used to pay. Another friend who lost his daughter and wife to cancer found strength in paying his cable bill. These mundane acts become transformative first steps towards normalcy, the first mile markers on the marathon to recovery. The seventh and final tool is telling your new story. The final tool for navigating life transitions is perhaps the most essential, updating your personal story. This narrative revision underlies all the other tools for surviving major life changes, yet receives the least attention. Repairing our life story is the crown jewel of the transition process, tying together all other parts of becoming whole again after a shattering event. Stories are our primary psychic unit of being, with half our brains devoted to imaginative work, converting seemingly unrelated events into coherent narratives. While our minds can sometimes invent false patterns, storytelling's greatest gift is its ability to integrate exceptional or unforeseen events into meaningful chapters in our lives. Perhaps most surprisingly, transitions take much longer than most people expect. When asked about duration, responses were consistent. While 8% completed their transition within a year and 9% considered theirs ongoing, the most common answer, and the average, was 4 to 5 years. 1 in 5 said their transition took 2 to 3 years, with a similar number reporting 6 to 9 years. These findings reveal that 3/4 of people experienced transitions lasting 4 years or longer, though many felt apologetic about this duration, as if they were outliers. The reality is that if we go through 3 to 5 life quakes in our adult lives, each lasting around 5 years, we may spend 30-plus years, half our lifetime, in transition. This makes mastering transitions all the more crucial. The 5 truths of transitions reveal our collective experience with life changes. 1. Transitions are becoming more plentiful. We experience a disruptor every 1 to 2 years, with 3 to 5 major life changes in a lifetime, making us a people in perpetual flux. 2. Transitions are non-linear. They're pinball, not hopscotch, with people gravitating towards stages they excel at while struggling with others. 3. Transitions take longer than expected. The average is 5 years, with more than half taking 4 to 10 years, making transitions a lifetime sport that no one is teaching us how to play. 4. Transitions are autobiographical occasions. They're narrative breaches requiring narrative repairs, where we must revisit and revise our internal autobiographies. 5. Transitions are essential. Rather than hostile terrain to soldier through, they're fertile ground offering both tumult and creativity. John Murray described his life as a winding river, referencing Garth Brooks' song The River, a metaphor that captured the author's greatest insight from 1,000 hours of life stories. Though we can't control life's ever-changing flow, we must choose to chance the rapids and dare to dance the tide. We must never surrender the possibility of happy endings, insisting our oscillating narratives can turn upward as well as down. The best response to personal upheaval is to push through darkness, knowing we're not alone. The woods are full of people just like us. All the disturbances we encounter are what everyone faces in between dreams, and they're what allow us to dream again. Once we've emerged from one challenge, the most frightening yet necessary thing is to dive back in and dream another dream, to begin again with those spellbinding words, "Once upon a time." As Deborah Fishman beautifully put it, Life is not about waiting for the rain to stop. It's about learning to dance in the rain.